Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh, speaking of which, 802 ESPN 97.5. I went by Pete's this weekend and picked up the burgers. People, listen to me. It is the best burger you will get. The mixture that he puts of the sirloin and the ground beef, and it's unbelievable.
It's a tri-blend that's been in Chuck. He has brisket. It's brisket and I think sirloin. Beef short rib and sirloin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so
it's the best burger ever. I made them this
You know
week.
He sends
My
those?
Wife, she had it for lunch and dinner. That's how much she loves it.
They're the best burgers. They're the best burgers I make. Do you know he sends those to... Okay, I don't know. It's either Scott Baio or Ralph Macchio or Tony. I think it's Tony Danza.
Scott Baio and Ralph Macchio are the same guy.
Yeah, I think it's Tony Danza, actually. Michael sends them. He
can't tell Italians apart.
Tony Danza, he sends these burgers to Tony Danza. I'm pretty sure it's Tony Danza in California. Like, he sends them out to him.
It's the best burger in the world. So I would just want to thank
you
Michael.
Take a vacation?
Awesome. I got pork chops. I got steaks. It was awesome.
I didn't know butchers were allowed to take vacations. He's going to be off for a week.
Yeah, yeah.
He's getting ready to take a vacation.
He might deserve it after 40 years of cutting meat. He might deserve
it. Do
a
you
vacation.
Know during, you know that they had their busiest year, I think, ever during COVID? You know who had busy years? Butchers and people who sell alcohol.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
during COVID? But he was,
and
so many people were stocking up.
Golf courses had their best year ever.
Yeah, I bet they did. And so did bike sales. But do you know, you couldn't find a bike for a while.
Why didn't we buy stock in Schwinn?
But do you know that, I don't know if Schwinn is the one that was jumping off. But do you know that he, remember when there was supposedly going to be a pork shortage and a meat shortage? And everyone's like, meat shortage, we got to get in and hoard the meat.
Prices have gone through the roof.
Yeah, they've gone up. Well, it's also because gas prices have gone up.
Yeah,
so it's more expensive.
No, it's because they can't
transport.
Find any workers. Nobody will work.
Nobody will work.
Nobody will cut them.
And now you're saying Michael's leaving?
No, Michael's not. Well, he's going on vacation.
No.
But I want to tell you, when you pick up your meat there, I just want to tell Michael, just awesome, awesome, awesome stuff. He's going to be doing stuff with us. Actually, I think for Father's Day, we're going to hopefully get this thing done where we're giving away a meat pack or a brisket for Father's Day.
So I'm working on it with Todd. We're going to do like a meat pack giveaway where you have a chance to win. And then during the football season where we have a chance, we're going to tie it in with another new advertiser that's coming in where you'll have a chance to compete against us, either in picks or fantasy, like daily fantasy, and the winner will get a meat pack. And if you don't win, don't beat us, then we'll take that meat pack. Dad, so sad. Dad.
You just dabbed on people. 805 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-37. We were just talking about food and what we had done this weekend, so that's why we were talking about food. Whenever, sometimes it's stuff that just carries over in a break, we're talking about stuff. Sometimes Dell brings up really ugly stuff that we can't talk about. But in this instance, we were talking about goodness and wonderfulness. So we got that.
I had a lot of red meat, and then this.
You know why? It's because I'm going to. I brought steak that I had left over, and I'm going to cook it up here. I mean, I'm put it in the microwave, warm it up, and then eat it on the way to the golf course today.
You're just going
to
eat a steak?
Well, I got steak a sandwich. Okay. I got the whole deal. What are you, crazy? You think I'm
a
rookie here?
You bring a brown paper bag and mustard as well?
Is that
how it's going to go?
I did not bring mustard today. I will
surprising.
If I have pretzels. If I have pretzels, I'm going to bring a baggie full of mustard.
What you guys with this animal would do, his dude would, he would, during, I get, when he was, when we were working like till 1 o'clock or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You would have a brown paper bag.
Right, with my lunch in it.
With his lunch in it. But he would do, he would just, his bottle of mustard, he'd squirt it on the bag. Right? Is that how it worked?
Oh,
so you would have a pile of mustard, and then you just have, you just like, pick up, use a pretzel, dip it in that little, I'm like.
Yeah.
What's the problem? Plates don't exist.
Well, I didn't have one.
There are plates in
I
there.
Got paper, what's a paper bag? But then you throw it out, it's all good.
Then what's, you got that stinky mustard smell in the studio.
What's stinky mustard? Mustard's wonderful.
It's,
don't come,
it smells.
Don't come here bringing it's, slander it's, against mustard.
It smells.
No, mustard is awesome.
Mustard residue smells.
Hmm.
And he just dumped the bag in there and go, oh, go about my day.
Art, well, how much are those tri-blend burgers? I need to know before I drive to your hood. Art, you're welcome in our hood. No matter, you can, you're welcome to come here.
Speak for yourself. Okay.
They're not cheap because they're good.
Well,
they're,
I don't
like
know how
super
cheap they
good.
Are. I don't know how cheap they are.
No, they, the,
I just,
there's
I
a
just
little
paid. I don't know. I
there's
know
a little bit
was.
More of a cost for it because it's got, because it's got brisket and beef short rib, and like they're literally going to be the best burgers you ever cook. I'm like, not, I'm not even joking. All my kids, it has unbelievable flavor. Now, you know, season them up as well.
Oh,
Sixers fans have to be over Joel Embiid, don't they? Like a little bit.
No,
he is
they
an
love
MVP.
Him.
I mean, he's an MVP candidate, but here he is in the postseason hurt again. Mm.
He's the only reason they're relevant. No, yeah. They love that dude.
I don't know. He's an MVP candidate, dude. I don't think they're over him.
Are you?
I think you're probably just frustrated with the injuries.
Wait,
but
you lived in a town where a guy consistently decided he, at some points, I'm just not going to play really well, or I'm gonna disappear in big games. And did Rocket fans get over James Harden?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
in
did.
A way, but
I
he
did.
Was also well, a consistent MVP candidate. Like, he played.
You're not the representative of what Rocket fans
No, but he played,
are.
Though.
No, but still, he failed in
no,
big moments.
No, a lot of
and
Rocket
disappeared.
Fans were frustrated with James.
Not the ones you see on Twitter.
Well,
fine,
no.
Be frustrated is one thing, but they weren't awful.
What the hell?
No,
but,
James
but, I mean,
Harden Twitter is a different deal.
But James it's Harden Rocket was Twitter. Also a consistent MVP
Real
candidate.
Real people were frustrated
but
with James Harden.
Joel Embiid finally lived up to the hype this year. Finally, after multiple injury seasons and crying. He cried on the court. I'd rather have James go get a lap dance than have somebody cry on the court.
You know, it was off the court, not tunnel.
Well, walking into
after,
the tunnel.
After a heartbreaking Game 7 loss.
James doesn't cry about that. He knows the game's actually starting for him after the game.
Well, that's not comforting if you're a fan
no,
of the basketball team.
No, I didn't always
team.
Like it, but it's just what it is, okay? And now they're going to win a championship. I don't know if they're going to win easy. I know Embiid being hurt. I tell you, Milwaukee is going to be an interesting team to see if they've got. I just don't feel like they have enough outside of Giannis. I just don't like Chris Middleton as a number two taking on the Nets. And I think the Nets are starting to throw some pretty big numbers at people. They're gonna.
Isn't Drew their number two?
What's that?
Middleton's their number two. Drew's a good number three, for which is great for them. He's a guy who doesn't have to be.
Well, he hit the shot, but listen, Drew's got the ball. I mean,
you watch them play, and when it's go time, and you know Giannis isn't going to be the guy who you lean on to get buckets down the stretch.
Well, there wasn't worth watching anything in that series.
I'm talking about when in game one, where it was actually a game, they leaned on Middleton, and they will lean on him. If they're smart, they should be giving the ball to Giannis down the stretch. There are ways to defend him, and he's bad at the free throw line. Drew's a very nice complimentary piece, and that's why they got him. But the Middleton's a clear number two for them, and in big moments, I would make him my number one. He's a guy who can go get his own shot at any time.
Yeah, he won a game for him. I mean,
he's a legit, consistent all-star at this point.
I don't know. We'll see whether or not they're legit. We'll find out. We'll find out if they're legit coming up.
I think they're legit. The question is, okay, well.
Well, they haven't
probably,
been in the postseason.
Yeah, it's they're a legit team. They play consistent. It's I guess if you're saying, are they a legit championship contender? Yeah. I just.
Well, if you're playing the Nets in the second round, is it a. Now, last year, you can make the excuse, what the hell happened when you lose to a five seed when you're the one? You can point to the bubble or whatever. But if they lose to the Nets, does that make them illegitimate?
No.
Because that's who they're going to be facing.
Yeah. It doesn't get any tougher than that.
Yeah.
Doesn't get
they're
any
playing
tougher.
Playing the favorite.
So, yeah. They're going to be underdogs.
Yeah.
So if they win that series now, that kicks it up a huge notch. I don't know that they. Listen, Tatum went nuts this weekend and put a 50 on them, and they were able to win a game. But that series is over. And it'll be this is the postseason is going to get really good as we go forward here. It'll be interesting to see whether or not the Lakers can do it without Anthony Davis. That's for sure. Or if Anthony Davis can possibly come back, we'll see.
It was a big change over the weekend. You went from Chris Paul, who didn't look like he could ever play again, at least being effective, and Anthony, and he comes back and he's back to being Chris Paul, and Anthony Davis now looks like he's going to be out for Game 5.
I was listening to Max Kellerman this weekend, and Max Kellerman was like, you know, when the Rockets won 65 games, Chris Paul wasn't really a part of it.
What?
It was,
what? He didn't was say that out loud with his mouth. Not
he
with
said
his mouth.
It was James Harden.
That had to come out of his
Mike
ass.
D'Antoni,
because
and it was
Mike D'Antoni.
That's
coming out of his ass stuff.
And it was Daryl Morey.
Then he just doesn't know this.
I know.
I'm not going to blame him for that. He just
and I was
know.
Like, what? Chris Paul was the reason they won 65 games.
He doesn't.
But now, with this Suns team, this is Chris Paul.
He doesn't know. He can't just look at Chris Paul's history, and I've said it multiple times. Chris Paul is an agent of change. Look at the teams he joins before when he gets there.
He is.
Talk
he
about
changed
it.
The Clippers. He's he is.
He changed the Rockets into a legit title contender, and he changed the Suns. And then we saw the Suns with an unhealthy Chris Paul, what they look like in those two games. They look like the team who never made the playoffs. He is that dude. I mean, the numbers aren't high. He's not the 25-point-per-game scorer, but he's that dude for multiple teams now. And this is why people look at those shows and like, okay, could you stop?
He's the smartest guy on the court.
It's ridiculous.
Smartest basketball
what,
guy. On
what
the court.
Suns now Anthony Davis got hurt certainly, but what the Suns turned into in Game 4 when Chris Paul found it again? What happened? They all of a sudden became the team. People were like, "Wow, look
how
good
the Suns
are."
Anthony Davis.
Sure, but even before Anthony Davis got hurt, they were down big, and then Chris Paul got it going. They fought back and were leading at the half because Chris Paul found it, and they went on a run. So I don't know what Kellerman's talking about.
Yeah. 813 ESPN 97.5.
You need to get your guy, John.
That's not my guy.
It's your guy.
No. Is it Kellerman O? No. There's no vowel at the end of his name. He's not my guy. Okay? Just let's be clear about that. 813 ESPN 97.5. You know what? You need some insurance. Then you go to Max Kellerman.
Do you?
No. I don't know.
How you doing this?
I don't.
No. Finish it up.
You go to
finish this segue with Max Kellerman and insurance.
If you want some insurance against Max Kellerman's hot,
TGS.
Where do you go?
No, TGS does not have a Max Kellerman insurance where they insure against hot takes. They do homes. They do home insurance with A-rated companies. They aggregate A-rated companies. You give them your address, and then they throw it out there at you. They say, okay, look, here's the best rate that we have with the companies that we're working with. And the great thing is, these companies are fighting for your business, so they're going to give you aggressive, strong rates. And what you have with a company that you've been with for years and years is a company, frankly, that gets lethargic and complacent because they know that you're going to just sign back up with them. So they can raise your rates $17 here, $100 there, and before you know it, you're going to find out that just simply changing over, the average savings is $900 plus annually. And how do they do it? Well, they just, once again, it's A-rated company, and they just come out with aggressive quotes that are competitive so that they can get your business. And you get the insurance you need, but you get prices that you deserve rather than staying with a company that takes advantage of you and raises the rates. Why don't you get with a company who is out there trying to fight for your business and offer you great, great discounts and savings? And that's what TGS Insurance is able to do for you. Text the word money to 232323. That's 232323. That's TGSinsurance.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Let it bump, though.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 816 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. To hang out with us here. Our Astros, we haven't talked about them in a while. Our Astros, what a weekend it was. What a roller coaster it was. What a bullpen disaster it was. What a Taylor Jones disaster it was. What a uplifting to see Greinke go eight. Odorizzi throw the way that he did. Urquidy throw the way that he did. Now you got Garcia tonight, who's been great. Garcia got the win. Garcia, his last start, he got a quality start. And when McCullers comes back, I don't know. We'll see what's going to happen there, but it bolsters the bullpen. Blake Taylor is back now. You got Belak out of there now, which is a good thing, which is a great thing. So it is, hopefully, you know, they're just going to have to piece the meal together, this bullpen. The last piece is McCullers coming back and Garcia going to the pen. And now when you go 4 2/3, which is the magic number that Dusty sees, if his starter goes 4 2/3, there's a good chance he's going to be pulled. Now you can maybe throw a Garcia for 3 innings, a Javier for 3 innings. We saw him do it the other day, and Javier looked great, other than the one shot that he gave up. The Astros should have won.
It was everything you could ask for.
The Astros should be 4-2 on this homestand at least, and maybe even 5-1. Maybe even 5-1 on this homestand.
Mm-hmm.
So they could have swept the Padres just with one clutch hit, and then with Taylor Jones, obviously. But they slapped the Red Sox around yesterday, which was nice. And you know, as difficult as it has been, Uncle Mike, Yuli, and Alvarez. I mean, you know what kind of firepower that is out of your lineup?
Yeah, it's a lot of firepower, especially. Well, so Yuli, I mean, Yuli's been hitting all year. Yordan hasn't. Yordan's had a problem, but you could argue that those are three of your best four.
Well, you know,
hitters.
Yordan is still one of the league leaders in hitting.
Well, yeah, and he's also one of the guys who can drive in runs. But one bad pitch and he can hit at 480. Those are three of your four most potent hitters. Now, yeah, I mean, Yuli, Mike, and then actually, this year it is. This year, right now, from a potency standpoint, in terms of success and ability to drive in runs, those are three of your four most potent hitters right now.
Yeah.
So, that's something to lose them. But, you know, the disappointing thing is that your bullpen literally is struggling to go two straight innings without giving up a run. If it's not Christian Javier, you can't. There's nobody in your bullpen you can trust. Scrub got sent down to the Skeeters, and hopefully he'll stay there for a while. We'll see. But it's just gotten to the point where these guys are just an atrocity. I mean, this was one of the worst weekends or one of the worst weeks I can remember for an Astros bullpen in the history of Astros bullpens.
Yeah.
One of the worst weeks, dating back to the Dodgers and then to the Padres. And then even yesterday when you had a lead, you know, you knew you had to have somebody who'd give up a home run because that's what they do. And then a bunch of warning track shots, and that's what Rodriguez did. Now, Paredes had a good inning, but you can't go two innings without giving up runs. You just can't. It's impossible. And you're definitely not going to go two straight bullpen pitchers without giving up runs anymore. That's almost impossible.
Yeah.
ERA in the 5.2s in May for the bullpen.
That's not good. No, but Taggart put out their last week. It was unbelievable how I can't believe that in May there are four bullpens that are worse than the Astros. I mean, that fan base is their fan bases have got to be nuts. Of course, the Astros that really like if it's the Reds or the Rangers, do they really care?
How do you measure worse? Because the Astros lead. Yeah, but the Astros lead with 10 losses. No one touches them.
Yeah.
They've lost 10 games. That's worse than ERA.
That's because the team is better. Like maybe the higher ERAs, their team just can't hit.
Well, I'd like to take a look at the teams that are below them and if there's any good teams around them that have this bad a bullpen.
Well, San Francisco actually is one. I'll have to go to
San Francisco's in first place in the toughest division in baseball.
I have to go back to Fangraphs, but I think from a bad bullpen standpoint, if you look at directly, forget your ERA. If you're losing games, if you go from winning a game to losing a game, that's worse. That's worse. You can have a game where, like the Astros, okay.
Well, how about a 6-1 lead? Is that worse?
Yeah, that's worse.
Yeah.
You know, that's worse than somebody, I mean, that's bad ERA also, but the Astros, their bullpen is literally costing them wins.
Did you see that with two outs in the ninth inning and two on, the Astros had, up by three, the Astros had a 100% chance of winning the game?
I heard that.
McTaggart put that out.
Yeah. My son brought that up, and I'm like, how can you have a 100% chance of winning? They never go to 100 until you've won.
Well, right. I mean, because there were two, or maybe there weren't two on when they had 100%.
But even
chance.
In a game where you're up by like 30 in basketball in the fourth, they don't give you 100% until
right,
it's 99.
Over.
It's 99.9.
Yeah, right.
The game's
whatever.
Over. Yeah.
No, apparently they had a 100% chance of winning. If you would have, I wish I was on like DraftKings or I don't know, my bookie. Some games they have and some games they don't. But if you could in-game betting.
Yeah, you got live.
No, I know, but not every game. So I don't know if the Astros and Padres would have been on. But live in-game betting, if as soon as Taylor Jones missed that ball, just lock in. Throw 100 on the Astros losing the game.
Bet against the Astros bullpen in any high leverage situation.
Yeah.
You're going to probably come out ahead.
Yeah, but Presley's been good. I mean, this was with Presley on the mound.
Well,
see? I mean, talk about Taylor Jones game that will never go away.
One game in the middle of the regular season you'll never forget.
I'll never, ever forget Taylor Jones for that. Ever. Mm. Ever.
Well, he has to do something to make you forget.
It's a positive. That's his Najee Davenport moment.
No, it's not the same.
It is the
same. It's just a drop. It's a misplay of a ball, not dumping in someone's house in a hamper. It's not the same thing.
Yeah. It's not the same thing to me. He dumped a big load in his pants.
To Davenport and Buckner?
I watched
these are the
him.
Type of deals
yeah,
you're talking about?
That's the Bill
about?
Buckner play.
Wow.
Yeah. That's his that ball a, going through his legs.
A game in late May is the same as a game in the World Series for
that's
you.
That's right. Well, I'll always remember Taylor Jones
I said
for
unless
that.
He does something else.
Unless, yeah. You better hit a home run and win a game, Taylor Jones. Otherwise, forever, it's you dumping in your pants in front of everybody.
By the way, John Krasinski was here.
He was in Houston at the Marquee, yeah.
Well, I thought you said it was recorded.
Well, he did a recorded one. Maybe he did something live, but he had a general message that thanks for coming out to the movies. He did. It was recorded.
In Houston.
Well, that was in Houston.
Yeah, yeah. No. He did a recorded thing in studio.
Yeah, okay, but
that
then he did that live.
You saw.
That's
yeah,
not what
that
you,
was live.
That wasn't what you saw.
This is live. He's got somebody with the 97.9 the box shirts there.
Yeah, he did that to make an appearance.
Yeah, he made an appearance, but as every time you see a Quiet Place, John Krasinski will pop up before and thank you for coming to the theater.
Yep.
Let's get Ocho in here. Hey, Ocho.
Hey, guys. Hey, quick comment about the Tatis homer and then a question about Urquidy. I was really surprised they decided to pitch to Tatis in that situation. I know walking him intentionally would have loaded the bases and put the winning run at the plate, but I would rather take my chances with anyone other than one of the top three players in baseball. So I would have walked him intentionally and taken my chances with the next guy.
Yeah,
as for Urquidy last night. Yeah, after Urquidy last night, he got good results, and he has very good stuff. But if you watch that game, he got away with a lot of fat, hittable pitches last night. And for some reason, he was able to get his fastball by them at 93 to 95. I would not recommend he try that again against his lineup. And my question to you, John, as far as that is concerned, do you think he kept him off balance with his up-tempo pitching? Because, you know, he gets the ball and he goes to work. He doesn't waste any time grabbing his junk and adjusting his cap like McCullers and all this, taking 5 minutes between each pitch like McCullers. Do you think his up-tempo may have thrown him off balance?
Well, ask the fielders, ask everybody likes when a guy works like that. And, listen, I think he's got great command. And to have it, after the layoff and only thrown 63 pitches in a minor league outing before this, to have that kind of command, yeah, he threw some pitches over the plate. But you know what he said? He said, go ahead, hit it, okay? Because we're up 4-0, we're up 6-0, go ahead, hit it. I didn't mind that at all. And you know what the Red Sox did? I mean, this lineup is okay, but there ain't no lineup that you look at. Obviously, Bogarts and Martinez and But Kiki Hernandez made a cut, and Devers, they're good. Devers, they're good. But you ain't scared. This lineup ain't that scary. If you want to know the truth, who's scaring you in this lineup? Kiki Hernandez made a couple of plays in center field that were awesome.
Even though though they're doing well, and you're about to see, this is going to be a pitching matchup here coming up in a couple games. But Urquidy was working really fast. He reminded me of Roy Oswalt in terms of how fast he was working. Yeah. And they just couldn't catch up with his fastball. He was able to hit between 94 and 96 at different times. But even when he got up in the zone a little bit, like, they'd get good cuts on it. And he wasn't like he was picking at the edges. He was challenging him, and they just weren't able to hit his fastball. It was really impressive watching him throw fastball, and seeing the Red Sox unable to make a serious challenge when he was challenging them. That was pretty impressive, especially for his first time back in a little bit. That was really impressive.
Really impressive.
To go six innings, I know they thought they would maybe get five out of them. With the bullpen being used so much with the extra inning games against the Padres, you know, it's a big concern. You want your starters to go as long as possible because your bullpen is just going to be terrible and give up runs. That's who they are. So you got to go as deep as you possibly can if you're a starter. And getting six out of Urquidy, man, that was a big deal.
No, it was huge.
And if he hadn't run into a little bit of trouble in the six, I'm not convinced he wouldn't have gone seven because his pitch count was pretty good.
No, he did. Well, I think it probably said, you know what? Plus, we got a nice lead. There's no lead that's big enough for this team.
Hang on. Did they get that lead in the sixth, though?
They,
is that when they piled it on?
Nothing in the sixth.
So they did pile it on in the sixth. Okay.
They got the 7-0. You know what? Get them out. And let's...
Once you pile it on, my thought was, even the bullpen can't screw this up. They can give up runs, but they can't lose the game.
I wouldn't be so sure about that.
Couldn't lose at 11-1.
I wouldn't be so sure about that. Yeah, 11-1, I felt pretty good about it. I felt pretty good about it. David is next. What's up, David?
Hey, guys. You know, I've been a fan since I was 7, and I'm in my late 40s. And the thing that bugs me the most about what I've seen this weekend with, what happened with San Diego, is people were burying the lead. This was New York. If this was the East Coast, they'd be talking about how Altuve had two chances to win the game, then he couldn't do it. He couldn't come up clutch. He had at-bats that would end the game. And one of them, he could have just turned away and got hit, and he gets out of the way for a run. So, you know, all that hate on Jones, the truth is they had chances to win both games.
Yeah, they did. No, they did. But listen, Jones catches a fly. You know, it was against the wall. It was up against the stands. But that is... Yeah, Altuve, I think he had the bases loaded, and he flew out to right field. But catching a pop-up, dude, catching a pop-up, a foul pop-up with two outs in the ninth inning, that's with up by three, that's game. That's game, set, match. Getting a hit is a different story.
He is more responsible than the guy who gave up three-run homer?
Yes.
Why?
Because the game is over. The guy doesn't give up the three-run homer unless if he catches the ball.
He didn't make the play.
It's the best hitter in baseball.
Understood.
Too.
He didn't make the play, but the other guy has a job to do, and he didn't get do his job.
No, he didn't get it. But it's two outs.
I understand.
Pop up.
I get the scenario.
Over. It's a pop up.
I understood the scenario, but as David pointed out, he talked about Altuve. There was still a chance to win the game, and you get and your bullpen.
Well, there were plenty
again.
Opportunities to win the game. But with two outs and you can't catch a pop up.
You can't be asked to catch pop up.
This is not a question of whether he should have made the play. He did make the play, but there was an action that occurred after that legitimately led to that game going to extra innings. You once again, your bullpen didn't get the job done.
Yeah. No, the what led it to go to extra innings is missing a pop-up.
And then giving up a three-run homer.
Presley did his job, though. Presley got him to pop up, and you didn't catch it.
So once he did his job, he couldn't do it again?
He had to keep doing his job.
How many times have you seen it, though? You make a mistake like that, and it costs you.
Yeah, but Presley's job is still punched in. on the clock. He still has a job to do.
He did, and he didn't. He didn't get it done.
No, he gave up. He threw a fat, terrible pitch.
Well, yeah, he gave up the 3-run homer, and they lost the game. Yes, that happened.
Yeah, don't
but
throw that
he
pitch.
Also got him to pop out, which was his job. If you have a pop-up with two outs, you catch the ball, you win the game.
Understood, and I'm sure there are pitches in Presley's pass where his defense bailed him out. And this time, he made a good pitch, and they failed him to go make another pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no question.
Yeah, don't make that pitch
to
that guy.
And Altuve come through. Yeah, but and Altuve, when the infield is in, maybe you throw home instead of getting a double play and giving up a run.
Don't make that pitch to that guy, though. That's terrible. Well, you don't throw that to Tatis.
Right here's the deal.
That was a bad pitch.
How about walking him?
Yep. Yeah, that was a bad pitch. I mean, veteran pitcher like that's got to be smarter about. You can't miss like that to a player who's got a chance to tie it up with that kind of power.
Even though dude was 0-for-4 in the game, I think you walk him there.
His exit velo was like 175 off that
Pujols, bat. That was Pujols.
Same as Pujols.
Yeah.
Bang, and he stood there in such a way that I thought, is that going to hook foul? No, that was just him flexing. And then, did you see what he did at third base?
Yeah.
Oh. He did like 3 shuffle steps before he hit the bag. And all I could think of was Brad Ausmus is so mad right now. Oh, Shane Reynolds.
And Tony La Russa.
Shane Reynolds is a. Yeah, Tony La Russa.
Pete and Caviglia.
Shane, the Shainer.
We ain't having that.
No, Pete and Caviglia would have run on a field and fought him.
ESPN 97.5 at 92.5 713-780-3776.
Do you ever wonder what ESPN 97.5 hosts talk about during the breaks? Well, now we have your f***ing answer.
I don't know why you got to do it with the FN. All you got to do is say earmuffs.
Just go to twitch.tv/ESPN975 for exclusive uncensored content.
Can you earmuff it for me?
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8:36 on ESPN 97.5. Big ups to Pro Football Focus for recognizing the greatness that is the Texans. Did you see where they ranked the top 32 linebackers in the league? How many Texans do you think ranked up there?
0.
Incorrect.
I'm sure Zach Actually, Cunningham you're way off. On there. What do you mean way off? It's Zach Cunningham?
Yep.
And then who else?
Kevin Pierre-Louis.
He's never been a Texan.
He is now.
I don't count him.
What do you mean you don't count him? He's a new.
I don't count him. He hasn't done anything with the Texans yet.
Well, wait a minute. So he doesn't exist then for you?
No, you put him with his old team.
Well, he's on the Texans, and he's ranked as one of the best linebackers going into the season.
We'll see.
No, I guess we will see.
We're going to find out.
Didn't even know if he'd start, but now that he's ranked one of the top
32. Apparently he's really good.
Yeah.
Top 32. Of course, is that really good? Yeah. I guess it's really good. Top half. If he's 32, that means he's top half of the league.
I mean,
but that's based on their grades. You know that
more than top.
No,
half. I mean, I know there's a lot of nickel, but 3 linebackers still play.
Has 3 linebackers. There's 90. That's 90 some linebackers. What are you talking about?
I guess I see. I don't count a 3-4.
Some
only count
have
2.
4.
I don't count 4. Those are pass
rushers.
Well, there's
still
3 ends.
Okay,
so those have 2. There's 2 inside linebackers. The 4-3 is, yeah, but you're basing them off PFF grades. I don't care about their grades. I never have.
He doesn't respect them.
You don't respect. Put some respect on PFF.
Kevin Pierre-Louis is one of the most sought-after linebackers in the business
this
offseason.
Thank you. Where do you think that Laremy Tunsil figures into?
In the linebacker talk?
No.
Out of it.
No, he's not in the linebacker talk, but in the offensive tackle talk, where do you think he figures?
Well, the way he's paid, I'm assuming he's the best they've ever ranked.
Top 6?
Actually, he finished in 8th.
Hmm. Is he the 8th highest paid tackle?
And how about this?
You know Kevin Pierre-Louis has 15 career starts? What are we doing here?
He's
got 84 games and 15 career starts.
How good
starts.
Was he last year, though, Lance?
11 career starts. He had 11 starts last year out of 13 games and 56 tackles.
So when he started, he was one of the best linebackers in
three
football.
Tackles? Yeah. No. Three tackles for loss? Yes. This isn't... No, these numbers aren't one of the best.
You
got to
project, Lance. You can't project. All you do is look at Pro Football Focus and say, meh.
Isn't his whole job to project?
No, but I'm reading you actual data. I'm showing you.
Where does Tyrod Taylor finish in the top 32?
Second.
He played
one
game.
Random. You never know.
He didn't even play a game this year, did he?
Yeah, but it's PFF.
No, he did play one game.
He could be fifth. It's PFF.
He played one game and they got stabbed in the ribs or something.
Or in the lungs or something.
He had his heart. He's a prank call. Yeah, prank call. And they try to stab him in the heart with.
It wasn't the heart.
An adrenaline thing.
It was the lung.
You know, this wasn't. No.
No, it wasn't that.
So behind Tunsil finishes eighth. Bakhtiari is one.
Okay.
Trent Williams is two.
Okay.
So the Texans could have had Trent Williams.
You could.
A couple, 3 years ago, not giving up two firsts and a second, and had one of the best offensive linemen.
Good. Dwayne Brown just paid him.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, let's not pretend like that Tunsil trade wasn't a good thing, okay?
Stop. Ryan Ramczyk.
You keep looking at it in the wrong way.
Teron Armstead, Ronnie Stanley, Tristan Wirfs, and Garrett Bowles all ahead of Tunsil on this list.
Yeah, but
what about
the drip?
Teron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk? Yeah. Oh, wait, it's just tackles, not left tackles.
No, it's tackles.
Okay. What about the drip, though? Did they rank?
Yeah, is
tackle?
It drip?
Oh, drip, he's one.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, as far as linemen go,
yeah.
you don't think anybody's got his drip
that's
as
all
a
I needed.
Lineman.
No. Yeah, I didn't need anything else. As long as he's still number one in drip, then that's fine.
Yeah.
Eight is about right for Tunsil, I guess.
Yeah, I probably top five, six.
He might be a little higher, but those are pretty good names. Ramczyk is really good. Armstead, when he's healthy, is still really
Trent
good.
Trent Williams has been good forever.
Trent Williams has been good, yeah.
Bakhtiari.
Bakhtiari has been good forever. He's a fourth-round pick, by the way. Who
Ronnie
else
Stanley got paid. So Tristan Wirfs.
Tristan Wirfs. See, I don't – maybe. Maybe.
And
he's
Garrett
a rookie.
Bowles. Garrett Bowles has been pretty good.
Dude, Garrett Bowles has sucked until last year. His last 2 years, he's been better.
Well, that's
– But Garrett Bowles is not better.
That was the point.
Everybody's
got to
come in and be, I guess –
No.
There's Pat Mahomes your first year.
No, I'm telling you. There's literally zero people in the league that would take Garrett Bowles over Laremy Tunsil as a player. Zero. Nobody would take him.
How much is Garrett Bowles being paid?
Well, but that's not what it is.
No, I'm saying.
No, it's a
he's paying a lot less.
No, I understand he's not the same. But
he's paying a lot less. He's paid a lot less. But if you had a game to win and you needed a left tackle to do his job, you're always going to take Tunsil over Garrett Bowles. Garrett Bowles, as a matter of fact, they had been looking to replace Garrett Bowles a couple years ago, and he's been better. There's no way Lane Johnson's not in there, huh?
Nope.
He shouldn't be.
No.
But I thought they might reputation him, but I guess you're not going to if you're looking at snap by snap. The worst thing is a little interesting because he did play really well as a rookie, but he also has Tom Brady, who tends to get rid of it at a decent rate. My guess is if you had to ask a team who would you rather have, regardless of financial, because obviously Wirfs is a lot cheaper right now, my guess is they would still take Tunsil over Wirfs, too. But
it helps to have Tom Brady, no question.
Yeah.
As opposed to the guy who holds the ball longer than anybody. In
Deshaun?
Yeah.
You got to be a phenomenal athlete to protect for Deshaun.
Yeah.
Because you got to mirror longer than anyone else, and then – when Deshaun starts running out of the pocket, sometimes you're going to have to make recovery blocks too. So, yeah, it's tough. Tyrod, is he going to be the same way that you're going to have to? Well, who else are you going to have? Davis Mills, you're just going to have to protect because he's not going to run around.
No, I don't know why you're not talking about Jeff Driscoll.
Yeah.
The guy who made them get rid of Ryan Finley. Hey,
I don't know why you're not talking
about
Ryan Finley.
Well, he's not here anymore.
But he might come back. You traded for him.
Yeah, and then they dropped him because they signed another guy.
Not even into like OTAs.
Listen,
they dropped him.
We're into Astros.
That's how bad
for
he was.
Him, and then not even into
after phase two. They didn't even get to phase three. Listen, we're in Astros. This is like 2013 Astros is what this is. Maybe 2012 Astros. It's probably more like 2012 Astros.
Stop.
This is where we are. No,
three
no, no.
Years of this.
This is where we are, though.
Like no, the Texans could turn it around a lot quicker with the draft picks for Deshaun and their own draft picks that are going to be high.
As long as
they're going to be fine.
Yeah,
because there's
relative,
an ultimate trust in Nick Casario.
And by fine,
relative to make a comparison to what we've seen in the past, that's what it is. you're in no man land. You don't have the players who are going to be on your team or not on your team that you need to really be a good team. You are still have to draft them. You still have to develop them. Obviously, development is faster in football than in baseball. But I don't think it's different than that. We're going to be in a long funk. It started last year, and it's going to run this year and maybe the year after. That's three long years of bad. I mean, that's three long years of bad football. That's what's going to happen. I don't see how it's going to be any different. Do you? A minimum of three? Isn't that what we have with the Astros?
Three.
I mean, it lasted longer
with
the Astros.
I think Coach Culley's going to turn around quicker.
If they're bad for 3 years, they all should leave. Now,
will David Culley have a winning record ever in any season?
No. Oh,
in any season?
In any season he's with the Texans.
Yeah, his seventh year, he's gonna have.
You think he'll last that long?
It took Oh, really? Tom Landry. You know how long it took him to turn it around?
David Culley, the Tom Landry of the Texans.
That's right.
Everyone says
that. It took like 8 years for him to win.
So you think David Culley
I know that they were an expansion team before that, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no one keeps
quarterbacks. This is an expansion team.
No one keeps coaches that long anymore.
Well,
your answer is no.
My answer is yes. Maybe year eight.
How many years do you think David Culley lasts?
You think he's getting a contract extension?
Yes.
How long do you think David Culley lasts? You think he lasts 3 years? Four?
Nah.
Four.
Four. No. No chance. Zero chance. He's Bo Porter. He's Bo Culley.
Three?
Bo Culley is going to
have. He can't have a winning
season. 2.5 years.
It's not possible to have a winning season.
And they're going to probably fire him in the middle of one of their seasons.
Well.
In the middle of the third season.
What if they draft a really good quarterback?
He's got his cash. Who cares?
What if they draft a really good quarterback and they hit on the quarterback? He could last longer.
Yeah, name that tune in less than. I mean, honestly.
What, you don't think a quarterback could emerge that they could draft?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's the only way.
Stink, though. They stink up front. Their front seven stinks. They might be better this year. They've added a bunch of one-year players, so I guess we'll see what happens. And then we'll see who they keep and what they decide to do. But their secondary's a mess. Their front seven's a mess. Their entire defense is a mess. Their offensive line has a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Running back is nothing. Wide receiver needs help. I mean, this is the Astros all over again. Yeah.
But do you
thing.
Like
8:46? This is cool. Us saying we're going to take a break and we'll talk about it on the other side.
When
Gilbert is waiting too, so I don't think you want to go anywhere. Gilbert is next if he's not asleep. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
8:49 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. John and Lance, along with Dell, we call it The Bench here. I never say that, ever. They always say that. And you're back on the Blitz. We never say The Bench here.
We don't say the name of the show.
No, we say.
I've always had a problem with that.
What?
I didn't like the show title from the beginning.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about it. I've never promoted The Bench. I've always promoted the people. Yeah. I think the people like the people more.
About? We started off as The Bench.
I know we started off as The Bench, but we never said it was always John and Lance. That's it.
No, it was The Bench until Bill Van Rysdijk changed it. He goes, "Let's change it to John and Lance." And we're like, why are we changing the bench?
He didn't really talk like
we even
that.
Had okay. People who were bench warmers. We do the
kind of talk like
this. We do the lightning round or whatever we did it first. And then remember he goes, "I got a better name for a show, the John and Lance Show." I'm like, why are you changing
I don't think I ever said The Bench all that much anyway though. I don't believe I've always said
all the
John and Lance
said
here
that,
with you.
And the listeners were bench warmers.
I know, but I don't think I said it that much.
I think you're forgetting.
No, I didn't say.
Because we weren't.
And you're back.
We weren't.
Fred starts every segment with, and you're back on the Blitz.
Even you didn't ever say unfiltered either. Weren't you part of with Sean Salisbury? Didn't you just say John and Sean?
I always said John and Sean.
Yeah, you never said the name of the show.
No. Was it called Unfiltered?
I think. Wasn't it called Unfiltered?
No, Sean's show is Unfiltered. We weren't called Unfiltered.
No, but wasn't the show here with Sean called him? What did you guys call it?
I have no
it?
Idea.
There was a show title. It wasn't just John and Sean, and you never said John and Sean.
I don't remember that. I don't know that.
See, you're not the person.
I don't like the names of shows.
I know you.
We can't really listen to you on this one.
No, I don't really like the naming a show. What is what? It's what? The you're listening to the people.
You name a show because shows have names.
No. Yeah, look at
it. Why do they name why is Startup called Startup in the movie? Just call it Ronald Dacey.
You can't
and
call it the Adam
no,
Brody.
That one, now you have to name Izzy, movies. You don't have to happy. Name radio shows.
Why?
It's
why it, teams.
It, it's
why do we have to get caught up in labels of teams? They're
it's
not
Stephen
the Chiefs.
A and Max. You don't have to call it so. Yeah. I can't ever remember what the hell the name of the show is. Who cares?
What about Patrick?
It's Stephen A. and Max, and you're watching those
Patrick
two.
Mahomes and the little guys. Why can't we just call them that? Why do we have to
and the little fellas? Because they're the Chiefs. That's
because,
the name of the team.
Why?
Because the team had different players
yes,
before.
They have more than just those two. We have three guys.
No,
that's
it's
it.
All Pat
we
Mahomes.
Have three guys. That's it.
By the way, the show was called Unfiltered, and it was it John and
remember.
Sean and John. Yeah, it was called Unfiltered. You just
I
never
don't think
said
I ever said that.
Yeah, you
though.
Never did.
I never said
you're
that.
Not the guy to talk to on that.
No, I never said that.
You're not
that.
Good with branding. They want people want you to brand. You're like, nah, I'm just gonna call it the I'm just gonna call its names.
Yeah, that's
they're
what
trying to create a brand.
No. No, that it's this is that's a
he thinks
whatever.
Branding is stupid.
So people will listen to us because it's the bench. No.
No, it's easy to say. It's all encompassing. It's easy
John,
to say.
John Lance and Dell. It's
no,
easy.
No, it's faster
well,
to say.
Oh, was. No. What were our shirts? John Lance, Raheel, and Dell. That uh-huh. was our shirts, like the Beatles.
The order was wrong, but okay. I mean, in my eyes, certainly shouldn't have been last.
No, you shouldn't have.
No. But yes, that was the shirt. It wasn't the bitch. And then it was John Dell. John Raheel, and Dell.
If it's an order of likability,
well, it was I would be last. Let's not be fake here. I would certainly
be nicest
laugh.
People, John, Lance, Raheel, and Dell.
Raheel is
oh,
a phony.
No, no, no.
Don't
John,
put Raheel ahead of
Dell,
me.
Raheel, and why? In order of nicest
don't
people.
Don't put Raheel ahead of me. He's so phony.
Yeah. No, you can't do that.
Yeah. At least I'm straight up.
I apologize.
Thank you.
Let's get Gilbert in here. What up, Gilbert? Gilbert, you there? What were the odds?
Well, he was on hold for 20-plus minutes.
Maybe it's him.
Gilbert. Hey, yeah,
I just leave him there.
No, he's sleeping. Let's see if we can see hear any snoring coming our way. There it is.
Rustling.
There it is. I knew that would come. Oh, John Krasinski was in town to get burgers at Pete's Fine Meats. That's what I heard. Art, Michael Cruz is a fine Hispanic man trying to make it in the world, and that's all you do?
Is one of the
I mean, why
are
you hating
people?
On Hispanic?
Why he hates on Hispanic
he thought
business
he was
owners?
Why do you hate Hispanic business owners making it big? Okay? Miguel Cruz. Okay? That's just art. You're just not a man of the people. That's all.
That's all.
That's all. You don't care about... you. I mean, you what? You know what? You wouldn't make it in Startup. You wouldn't make it in LH.
So,
LH7.
So where did the name Pete come from if Michael is the one doing it?
Because his dad.
Okay.
Pete Cruz. So Pete was his and dad, was the butcher.
We called him Pedro back in the day.
They've been doing business well over like 40 to 60 years. He's a good Richmond Rosenberg. Mm-hmm. He went to Lamar Consolidated.
Mm-hmm.
E.J. Thomas recently you died, see? Went to Lamar Consolidated.
Yeah, school. Poor Pete B.J.
Saw that. So we haven't gotten to the fact. We talked a little bit of Astros. Rolling back into playoff basketball. Anthony Davis is expected to miss game 5. This is a groin injury. Groin injuries, soft tissue, they don't just get better. I think this is going to be an issue in the playoffs for them. Who, if you had to wager on who's going to win the series, it's 2-2. Who would you bet, Suns or Lakers, to win the series? You think LeBron's going to go out, even without Anthony Davis, you think LeBron goes out in the first round to Chris Paul?
I think I still think. I mean, what are Suns favored by? It can't be a big favorite.
Suns are the favorite to win the. So I don't think they would have been without the Anthony Davis injury. Let me pull it up. Let me see here to win the series. But the Suns are the favorite now to win that series. Who you got? Let's just say it was even money. Who would you take?
I want to know exactly what's happening with Anthony Davis before I bet it. If
well,
Anthony Davis
right
is,
now.
If Anthony, right now, I'd take the Suns because of Anthony Davis's injury. If Anthony Davis comes back, they win the series.
Okay, so right now to win the West, who's the favorite to win the West?
To win the West right now.
So funny. to win the West. The same website that has the Suns are the favorite to beat the Lakers.
Can't be Utah. Can't be Denver.
It is Utah.
It's Utah.
Plus 170. Lakers plus 240. Clippers plus 300. Suns plus 500. And then you go Denver Nuggets plus 1700.
Wait a minute. So the Lakers should be favored in the series then?
Yeah, you would think. But I think their whole thing is if they get past the first round, it's because Anthony Davis is healthy, I guess, because that's what I'm thinking.
Well,
you can't make the
Lakers bigger dogs well, anyway because everybody will jump all
then
over.
The Suns at plus 500. I think the Suns could beat the Jazz. Well, see, the Clippers at 300 are the interesting one because the other day, Paul George was on fire at one point. He was just killing it. Are the Clippers the play at plus 300?
Could well be. Could well be. This is favored to come out of the West, not out of...
And how about the Mavericks were 2-0?
Not win at all, just come out of the West.
Just win the West.
Okay.
Right now, the Bucks are plus 250 in the East, Brooklyn's minus 150, Sixers plus 280, and then the Hawks plus 1800.
Well, yeah.
Will the Nets win the East minus 150? What do you think?
Yes. Yes. I think that's a no-brainer, is them out of the East. Of course, the Bucks are going to give them a series, I think. What do you think the line is for the Suns and Lakers in Game 5?
It's like Suns are 5.5?
Five. Yeah, 5. The Nets are 12.5 in Game 5 to beat the Celtics. That might be a good Celtics bet. They might keep that close. The Knicks are actually
like
the favorite.
Lakers +5. Yeah. I like LeBron stepping up big in this game. And even if they don't win, I think it's going to be closer than 5.
When the Clippers are 7-point favorites against the Mavs.
Back with the Clips. I mean, man, the Mavs took care of them there.
The Mavs did take care of them there. That is interesting to be catching 7 points in a place where you just beat the snot out of them.
Well, Luka isn't particularly healthy.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you see that he's 13 of 32 from the free throw line in this series?
Yeah, that was crazy.
Who's worse, he or Ben Simmons?
Ben Simmons, I don't think there's any shot he makes a free throw. At least, even though Luka's really bad, I think at least he has a shot to make it.
13 of 32.
Yeah, he was bad before game four, but then he was hurt, and so I think he missed all of his free throw attempts in game four. But yeah, he's been terrible. He was like 73%, so not great, but okay enough in the regular season. He's been terrible.
Yeah. Wow, that is unbelievable.
Talk about the Clippers being coming back and tying that series. They were down 2-0 and down 19 points in the first quarter, game 3. And surprisingly enough, they didn't fold, which is what you would expect from them. Yep.
Ben Simmons is 5 of 20 from the free throw line in the postseason. If they can't lose to Washington. I mean, even without Embiid. If they were to lose Embiid, they'd still.
That's two more home
games.
Well, now
if they lost Embiid, they might have some problems.
If Philly can't close out Washington, when they have two home games left in this series, well, they're the frauds that we think they are.
Yep. 713-780-3776.
But he's 61% from the free throw line, Ben Simmons for the year, and now he's shooting 20%.
Yeah, 25%.
Or 25%, 5 of 20. Yeah, 25%. I mean, if this keeps up, he's not going to like playing. Daryl will get rid of him in the postseason.
Yeah.
In the offseason. If Ben Simmons keeps shooting like this and he looks mentally fragile when it comes to free throw shooting.
Whoa.
What?
Well, I don't know what Gilbert just thought there.
Gilbert?
There's some kind of.
Did he just get attacked by a pterodactyl?
Velociraptor.
Hello,
Gilbert.
I wish Gilbert was here. Oh well.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. All right, John Clay Wolf is joining us now here on ESPN 97.5. He's no Gilbert, but he's John Clay Wolf. What's going on, John Clay Wolf?
I mean, not much more than y'all have going on. Has it really come to dinosaur sounds?
To what?
Has it really come to dinosaur sounds?
Well, yeah. Well, we had somebody on hold that was snoring, and so he just woke up and made a dinosaur sound. That's why we were doing it. I gotta tell you, I really liked your interview with the homeless guy on Saturday. I thought you asked.
Did I show my soft side?
Yeah, I thought you asked pertinent questions. I thought it was really good. I was interested in hearing. It's interesting, you know, that whole thing of why and how he's doing it. That was really telling, wasn't it?
It was. I didn't know how I was going to get out of it, but it was. I'm glad we did it. But a guy that's sitting in a car with a cat reading the Iliad by Homer, waiting on his. I mean, he's an intelligent fella, but he's homeless. I don't know. It was very telling.
And
what Gigi explained was he's getting a high Section 8 voucher in California so he can take that higher value voucher to Colorado and get a better house.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing is sad, but he didn't seem to be all that shook by it. He was accepting of it. It was interesting. I just thought you did a nice job.
Thank you.
Are you
and I used to wake up next to fat girls after a hard night out.
And
you were okay with it. You knew that that's who you were.
Yeah. And how rich you are. You're like doing $140 million a day or something. I mean, it was amazing the numbers that you were putting out there.
$6 million a day.
Oh, yeah, $140 a month, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But understand, you being the degenerate gambler that you are down deep, that's why you and I get along so well. So just because you make $100 million worth of bets doesn't mean you make any more money than the guy that makes a small amount or more amount or no bets. It's all about how you make your bets.
Well, right. Do you bet? And I imagine if you're going to employ all those people and be on radio stations all over the country, that you're winning a lot of bets. That's all. That's what I'm imagining. Okay. So
I'm doing better than the homeless guy in LA right now.
Well, you got a house, so you're doing a little bit better. Although that guy seemed to be fine with where he was. But listen, the moral of the story is: if you want to buy a vehicle or you want to sell your vehicle. You want to sell your vehicle, you go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.